Good morning, you're on Down to Brass Tacks. Or not. Good morning, Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I see that the elections has gone, people have spoken, but yeah, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out or talking about what the LP did wrong and not wanted to talk about what we should do going forward. No, we're not talking about the NSRL or anything like that. We're not talking about VAT. We're not talking about school, the university. We just keep talking about the DLP all the time. I don't think that makes any sense.
I used to think like you a couple of days ago, but I see the wisdom of it. I'll put the wisdom to it. You can agree or disagree, and then we can move on to the future of Barbados. I think we have to assess in these early days, because if not now, when? In relation to the way how parties, oppositions, and various things operate. Because we live in a democracy, and I don't think that we should just ignore what happened over the last 10 years, ignore what happened over the last 10 weeks, to focus on what should happen over the next 10 years alone. Because at the end of the day, 3 years from now, the situation could be completely different. We could have a Barbados Labour Party government that turns around everything, or we could have a totally different situation where 30 people in power, there's complete power, the euphoria is gone, and people, we may be wanting an opposition because of what is happening. So I think that as a country, we should discuss, evaluate, do a post-mortem, and then move on.
So which is priority right now?
I can walk and chew gum. I'm not sure about you. I think that while we are discussing it, I believe that the government, as shown by the media, is out there working. I think what you can do, if it is your choice and preference, put something about the Ford, but don't take away those who want to do a post-mortem. I can load a secret to you right now. I didn't want to sit in the chair in the early days just because I didn't want to hear anymore about election. I had election over burn. My ears was burning from it. I couldn't take it anymore. But now, a meeting I had last night, I realized the importance of it. I was educated to the importance of it.
Let me tell you something, right? Mm-hmm. We all excited about this NSRL, right? Mm-hmm. But we not saying that if the government removes the NSRL, the prices in the supermarket ain't going to change.
Mm-hmm. That's something I'm concerned about.
We don't want to discuss that. So what is the sense in the government moving the NSRL, receiving less revenue, and then the consumers going into the supermarket and paying the same prices for the items on the shelves? Does that make sense? So leave the NSRL. You know? We don't want to talk about important things. I could talk about the fact, right, that when Mr. Stewart, I live in St. Michael's South, mm-hmm. when Mr. Stewart was there, I could see arguing out that my garbage is being collected twice a week, and now for over 9 days now you haven't seen a garbage truck. I could talk
about that. Sir, behave.
You understand? But that's a fact. Since the 22nd of May, I haven't seen the garbage truck.
I see where you're coming from,
I
clearly.
Don't say that there are no garbage trucks, because I was getting 2 collections a week, Tuesdays and Fridays.
So what do you think happened?
I haven't a clue. But you know, sometimes I've got certain BLP supporters that believe that when the BLP in the show work.
Oh, dear. So all the people...
You know, we're losing a lot of stuff about in Barbados because we're so excited about this BLP win. Mm-hmm. And we're not focusing on the main important things, like the consumers. Mm-hmm. The businessmen want the NSRL move because they don't want to pay upfront. If the VAT, with the VAT, they could shift around and avoid it. They can't avoid the NSRL. So Ms. Marley is their road to moving it. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's what they want. If she doesn't move that, well, you know, them ain't with her no more. The unions looking for increases that I don't even think coming. The main things that we want to happen ain't going to happen. You know? Mm-hmm. Because the economy just ain't right for it. You know, we blame the DLP for everything. You know? But we will see that this whole economy right now is for the businessman. If it's not for the small man. So if you could tell me that the price is going to come down and we could go in the supermarket and we can pay less for our items, then it could go along with the moving the NSRL.
I think that by not moving it, I think it can cause prices to do what they've been doing, which is to increase. And I think by moving it, you would see some improvement in some areas.
So if the government receives less revenue, how are they going to pay for things that we need?
I think you're making the same mistake that they made, you could have seen clearly that their thought by having more tax and higher tax brackets and higher tax percentages would cost more, would gain more revenue. But the reality is that sometimes when you contract the economy so much, you actually collect less. So by moving it, you encourage more economic activity, you encourage more investment, and as people spend more, you get more taxes. As people spend more, you open more businesses and you get more income tax and various things. That is how an economy works. We've done the reverse for so long and it has not worked. Insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. We are now doing something different. By taxing, you just contract. You cannot spend. You have to send home people. People are not working. By doing the opposite, you remove, you free up, you get people to spend, you get people to invest, you get people to build. And that is how you create more taxes. So you can actually create, you can actually collect, like we've done in the past, more VAT at 15% than 17.5%. And I think that that is the move. It is, now as people say, you have to give it time. You have to wait and see.
How much time we have?
Listen, I don't know. I can ask my seniors because I hear about this honeymoon period, right? And I want to know if that means that I see something I don't like, if I can't say something about it. Because from the day we had the cabinet announcements, I had a difficulty. Do I put up my hand and think, or am I slapped down because they're in the honeymoon period and I can't say anything? But at the same time, I think in all things, you have to be reasonable, and in all things, let there be moderation. I don't think we should come up with a swinging axe looking to criticize everything, including garbage collection, before 10 days is up. I just think that there must be some time, some passage of time, so that we can truly assess. You cannot assess an 11 plus from the time the guy writes his name on the paper. You let him finish the test. Let's see what he's doing.
Why do I have a problem with continuous assessment? Continuous assessment, anyhow.
Correct. You know? Not in 9 days. But anyhow, I like your voice. I like your voice in that you're saying that we need to speak about the important things. And I guess there's time for form, but there must also be time for substance. And what you're saying is you want to see more substance. My question to you before you go, though, what do you think your rebuilding process would be like for your party?
Well, right now, I'm looking at not going to... I prefer to pay the... I agree with the world tax at $400. They don't think we should think of that, because that could be have a trickle-down effect and affect a lot of things like bills and business in general. You know, because that's something that could be passed on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at the roads and, of course, the transportation. I think we need the transportation where the private sector is involved. You know, because they don't think the government should be totally involved. But we still have to look at maintaining the $2 bus fare, because they don't think the public could afford to pay more than $2 bus fare at this time.
I want you to do the nation a favor and keep close to this program. Keep close to your telephone, because we're going to need voices like yours going forward. Okay? 27 minutes before noon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Go on. Sing. No, let me hear her sing. You're on Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You can hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I was running out for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you something, sir.
Mm-hmm. Say again, you're on live on the air, go right ahead. Sorry about the long way. It happens from time to time on the out here. It happens from time to time.
I can talk now?
Of course. Go right ahead.
Okay. I want to ask you something, sir.
Mm-hmm.
If you got people from a court coming by you all sorts of hours, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and you sleeping, you ain't never getting off, sir. Right?
Mm-hmm.
These people, the state, and these people up on the court, I ain't winning, man.
All right, this is what I do. I want to call 4307300. Leave your name, because we want to at least be able to find out where you're going with that. You know, too many problems here recently with these types of things. So let's move along. Yeah. Thank you very much. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, my good friend.
Yes, good morning to you, and I hope good morning to listeners worldwide and management and staff of BRB. Nice to hear you back on again, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and so quickly, I would like to say to congratulate the Honorable Prime Minister, Miss Mayor Motley, and her team. I must congratulate them, but what I would like to say, we'd just like to make a suggestion. The Honorable Prime Minister stated that she would invite two DLP members to be part of the opposition in the Senate. But what I think that the Honorable Prime Minister could do is strengthen it a bit, like invite the Honorable Lady from UPP, Ms. Lynette Eastman, the gentleman from Solution, she could invite Natalie and probably another independent candidate, you know, just to strengthen it a bit, strengthen the opposition a bit. I think that that would be a fitting tribute, you know, because she has a very large party, and, you know, I don't think that two people will be enough, you know, not that they will not be strong enough, so, but I think she could level the playing field a little more, you know. Mm-hmm. That is just my suggestion, sir.
And I've heard a number of people with that. It'd be interesting to find out how many other people feel about that. Getting a lot of messages here saying that they missed you. The 1,000,000,000% man, we miss him. So you've been missed.
I feel honored. thank everybody for the kindness, you know. Mm-hmm. I am very impressed and I'm honored, and thank them very much from the bottom of my heart, sir.
All right, thank you. I want to hear more conversation about that whole idea of incorporating some of the other parties. I think that what has happened with those parties tell us a very, very interesting story about how to all goes to the victor kind of style of politics that we have. And it also speaks to persons not involved in direct party politics and how we've been leaving them out of policy decisions and management of this country for a very long time. Some of them have shown their head along with some of the other fringe parties in this last election, but I'm sure there are many, many of them out there. How do we get Team Barbados to work? How do we get these very valuable assets to national development? Now, everyone has their role to play. We have people who have to deal with the sick, people who have to paint, people who have to do whatever, but there are a number of Barbadians out there that can contribute to national policy and national development. But if you are not involved in the thick and thin of party support, what can tend to happen is that you can go unnoticed. You can find yourself not being able to make a contribution. And even becoming an independent or joining a fringe party may not be the way to go, because you still will not have a role to play in the heavy lifting that is required for this country. Brad Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir. Good day.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good day. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm very wonderful, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk a great lot about politics, though, but I was listening to Mr. Johnson early this morning explaining something. And I was trying to get on and see if I could engage him in this, what I was proposing to speak about. He probably hear me.
Yes, he is.
Right. At least the conversation came up about the putting the taxes in the gasoline, which I agree with, and I can give him a reason why I agree with it. The people who got weed whackers and generators and all them kind of things got to pay a little piece of tax too. And you only can pay by the amount of driving that you do now too. But there's one thing I want to see if you could assist me with. They got a vehicle known as a Leaf. It is a Nissan. A Leaf. L-E-A-F.
Mm-hmm. I know it.
I want to know how they can engage them in the tax net.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Mr. Johnson hear me. Can help me?
Good morning. Yeah, I am hearing you. The electric cars, as far as... I am not a spokesperson for the government, and that's why I said the GIS and the Minister of Information could do it. I had asked about the electric cars and hybrids, and I was told that could be done through taxes, as in the duties placed on them. I don't know how that's going to work. As I said, I don't know. What I do know is that they use electric power, and electric power is powered so far by gasoline. So I don't know where they're going to come from. I keep repeating, though, and people keep asking me to explain what I was talking about, the tax. A tax is a tax. It's a revenue measure, okay? We keep referring to it as road tax and putting it on cars, and that's why you're talking about weed whackers. A road tax means you pay for the maintenance of the road. So they'll find another way, I suppose, to tax electric cars. I don't know. I am the Minister of Economic Affairs. I was just trying to find out, because I sit in the chair and these conversations keep coming up. I keep asking the people who I think could give me some guidance to tell me how best they would be able to overcome the issues such as electric cars. But that one, I was told, you know, could be done through levies and taxes.
The other thing we need to consider, to my mind, is the fact that under the last administration, we saw a number of policies coming out and then having to be refashioned and refashioned. A lot of things were not taken into consideration. And I think that that's when you don't listen to your technocrats, that those things can happen. Now, when you are devising a road tax, I believe that all of those things will be taken into consideration and all the anomalies, again, taken into consideration. And you make a policy and a law or taxation framework that will cover all the eventualities, because at the end of the day, we can start to talk about airplanes and the jet fuel, and we're going to go on and on and on and on. But there are technocrats within the ministries that is their responsibility. I think it is our job to raise the aspects of it that may be questionable, even if it would have been an oversight on their part. It is their responsibility to listen to us, the public, and then go and create a policy that will cover all of the eventualities and all the anomalies that we are discussing here. And I think that that would be done. If it is not done, I think we return to the airways and we say, you know, what happened here? What happened there? And they could either double down, like we've seen sometimes in the past, or they could take it into consideration and make sure that when they do the amendments, that the amendments seek to improve the existing legislation.
All right, Corey, thank you.
And thank you very much as well. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Okay, I'm good.
All righty.
All right, let me make several comments. First comment, that conversation between Mr. Johnson and Ms. Bowen this morning, what is hearing a lot from both sides was frustration. And Dennis didn't do anything wrong in that respect. Dennis was trying to give the lady as much opportunity to speak as possible, but she is just so passionate and so active in terms of what was going on and the frustration that she's feeling with what's happening, the whole situation, and that was what was coming out today. So therefore, she has to settle back, cool down, and just relax and have a conversation still. Now, the situation with the taxes and stuff like that people are talking about with respect to gas, I want people to understand certain things. One, nothing is free. Everything has to be paid for. So therefore, everything has a cost. And I think the biggest problem we are having is this idea, they're debating whether or not you're going to end up paying more for in road tax by paying it a lump sum every year or what have you, or paying it by the pump. Some people might pay more, those sort of things. I think those conversations are wrong, in a way, to be having. What I think is more important that people have to look at when it comes to taxes is the challenge that people have most, if anything, is cash flow. And the fact of the matter is that in most cases, you find it harder to come up with a whole bunch of cash at any one particular point in time, like $1,000 or what have you, in order to pay something. And then the tendency in that respect is that if you can't pay it, you might put it off, or you don't pay it, all sorts of different things that you do. But if you have something where every single day you're paying, let's say, 5 cents or 10 cents or whatever, you don't notice it. And you're also able to do it. So therefore, at the end of the day, government still gets the most of the revenue. The government gets all the revenue, actually, from people who should be paying tax, but would have tried to be, you know, avoiding paying tax by not paying the road tax or whatever. But because they have to go to the gas tank, to the gas pump every time, they have to pay that tax. So therefore, government gets the revenue. And also, people then don't notice that. They don't have to come up with this lump sum at the end of the year. And they end up not noticing it. Okay? So that's the first thing with that. Now, continuing on that, I think one of the biggest problems we have in Barbados is the idea of the consolidated fund. We have this thing called the consolidated fund, and everything essentially goes into that. All the departments collect revenue, dump it into that, and then it is taken back out of that to then run the various departments. And what I believe that ends up doing is removing responsibility for each segment of government for determining exactly what their needs are and how they can best go about fulfilling those needs. Obviously, there are other departments where, let's say for health or something like that there, you have situations where the amount of revenue that collects is nowhere near going to be the amount of revenue that it ends up spending on it. But then if you put in place the structures that analyze those things, and you can come up with more accurate systems and say, okay, this department costs $1 million to run every year. What services can I offer and sell within that department to then reduce that amount? And then minimize the amount of money I need to say from government, okay, I need this as a supplementary in order to run my department. So I think we have to get away from this. We have to go back to what it was before we established this idea of the consolidated fund. Now, you had spoken a little about your desire to let's analyze some of the things that went wrong with the former government, with the last government. I have argued on this radio that this was the best opportunity for third parties to get involved and to play an active role in what was going on in this country. But they had to get their acts together. And in my opinion, they didn't.
I think when we said third parties, we left it there. And I think we should have added some adjectives there. In relation to strong third parties, well-formed, well-managed third parties. Because we had third parties going up against two mass bases, and you really need that mass base. We didn't see them create any branches, to my knowledge. We didn't see them create any youth leagues, women leagues, things that have traditionally helped the mass bases. So I think that this was an opportunity, really, for them to even try to start these things. But when you come on the eve of an election, with mere months to go, and just think about it, they got 3 extra months. We're not able to capitalize on them, to my mind. I think that they now have 5 years. So if they're really serious about sticking around, we don't want them to just think about this idea of the third party. You need to be a well-oiled, well-managed, well-manned and womaned third party. So we need to add in that. When we keep talking about these third parties, people think you just start a party and go. But that is not the case. But we shall see. This is the Thursday edition. Don't embarrass us. The music tells us it's time to go to the OCM, the regional roundup. Find out what's happening with our brothers and sisters across the region.